Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Well, our son, who lives in Atlanta, couldn't get in touch with my daughter Saturday morning, and he came over later Saturday morning. He found the TV on, which was very odd. My daughter would never leave and leave the TV on. And there's a tapestry that was on the wall, an Egyptian tapestry, and it was pulled out of the frame. It wasn't even taken out from the back. The glass was somehow cut and it was taken out from the front. Totally bizarre. Unfortunately, the police handling of her case has been less than desirable from day one. They didn't do any forensic investigation of the house or my wife's car that was being driven by my daughter.
In August of 2017, 25-year-old Jenna Van Gelderen was house-sitting for her parents in the Druid Hills section of Atlanta, Georgia. Jenna was last seen on August 18th and had a phone conversation with a friend in the early morning hours of the 19th. What happened after that remains a mystery. On the morning of the 19th, Jenna's older brother stopped by the house to find that the doors were locked and both the television and lights were on inside. Jenna and her car were both missing. Ever since Jenna disappeared, her family has been struggling to get law enforcement to look for her. Early on in the investigation, they had even reported that they'd found Jenna, but it was just a tragic mistake. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 105 of The Vanished, Jenna Van Gelderen's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Listeners often contact me about new missing persons cases from their area. Usually they're resolved before I can even get a chance to cover them because most people are located. Back when Jenna first went missing in August, several listeners contacted me about her case. I was relieved when I saw the news that she'd been found, then baffled when the story was retracted. How do those kinds of mistakes happen? How can a family be told that their loved one has been found and it was all a mistake? We know that some people are at a higher risk for being victimized, and those reasons can vary from things like lifestyle choices to socioeconomic status. Jenna's family believes that she was at a higher risk, but for a different reason. I spoke to Jenna's dad, Leon Van Gelderen, for this episode. He explained to me that Jenna is on the autism spectrum and is high functioning. Her parents had been worried about some of the people that she'd been hanging out with because she was often a bit too trusting of others who may not have the best intentions. It was a struggle for her parents who, on one hand, wanted to protect her, while also respecting her wishes and boundaries. Jenna had lived at home with her parents until the spring of 2017, when she began renting a room from a male acquaintance. She still maintained close contact with her parents, typically speaking to them on a daily basis. Leon told me more about his daughter, Jenna.
She was 25 years old. She had been living at home with her parents until about April of 2017, moved out and was renting a room from a roommate in an apartment. She had completed 2 years of college and got a certificate from Gwinnett Voc Tech in office administration. She had high-level functioning autism, which created a lot of social issues for her as far as trusting people and making contact with people through social situations was less than optimal. And she was working in a pet supply store for about 4 years until April. She was accused of stealing some money from the store that got resolved with just a misdemeanor. She was taking care of our elderly cat and house sitting when she disappeared. We were in Canada and she was here in our house for about 3 days, and car was gone. She was gone. She loved pets. As I said, her friends were less than optimal. Some of the people she was hanging out with did have criminal histories, and she was working part-time as a nanny, had gotten jobs through a placement service.
On August 15th, 2017, Jenna's parents left for a vacation to Canada. Before they left, they set up a plan for Jenna to house-sit and feed their elderly cat. Jenna's older brother was to stop by in the mornings to give the cat its morning medications, and then a cat sitter would come by later in the day to give the cat its afternoon medications. Just a few days later, on the 18th, Jenna had been in contact with both her mom and her brother that day. At one point, she left her parents' house to return to her apartment. She took her mom's car instead of her own because the insurance had lapsed on her car. Some of Jenna's friends were at the apartment when she stopped by there that evening. They reported that she left around 11:30 p.m. to go meet with a man that we'll call her ex-boyfriend. He claims that he broke up with Jenna on the evening of the 18th, but we'll delve into that later. The last known person to see Jenna is this ex-boyfriend. Jenna's family has learned that during that evening, the ex-boyfriend was not using his own phone to contact Jenna. We know that Jenna made it home that night because she spoke to one of her friends in the early morning hours of the 19th.
She had one female friend in North Carolina that she had been texting with and in contact with continuously, who was the last person to talk to her at 1:30 in the morning. And she's been helpful reconstructing things.
Around 2 a.m., she texted the same friend that she had spoken to on the phone and said that she was laying down. The wording of this text message seemed strange to her friend. It wasn't something that Jenna would typically write. Another piece of information that they've been able to gather that supports the belief that Jenna did make it back to her parents' house that night is that her Facebook account was accessed from their home IP address. Jenna's brother Will stopped by around 10:30 a.m. on the morning of the 19th, and he noticed that the doors were locked, but when he went inside, the television and lights were on. He also noticed that Jenna hadn't fed the cat. Jenna's car was also gone. The day before, she'd been driving her mom's car, but that was still in the garage. When the cat sitter came by in the afternoon, Jenna still hadn't returned, so the sitter, who didn't have a key, attempted to call Jenna, but got no answer. Will stopped by again at 11:30 that night to check on his sister, but she still hadn't returned. Will spoke to their parents and let them know that he was concerned about Jenna. On the 20th, they decided to call Jenna's ex-boyfriend from Canada and ask if he knew anything. He informed them that he was home alone on the evening of the 18th. Will continued to go over to the house to see if Jenna had returned and to care for the cat. This is when he realized that there was a World War II-era Egyptian tapestry missing from the home. This had been on the wall in a frame. Someone had removed it from the frame by cutting out the glass in the front, not taking the back off the frame. This is one of the bizarre aspects of Jenna's case. Why would someone take that but leave many valuable items behind? I wondered if this tapestry was worth a lot of money.
It turns out we found similar ones on the internet for sale that are only a few hundred dollars. It was a souvenir that her grandfather brought back from Egypt in World War II. Why somebody took it, I don't know.
It was also on this day that Will filed a missing persons report for his sister. Officers from the DeKalb County Police Department came out to the house to take the report. They looked around and then left. When Jenna's parents learned that she was missing, they decided to cut their vacation short and arrive back in Atlanta on the 21st. While they were still in Canada, they decided to contact the police department again and requested that they come back to the house to check for fingerprints. But, unfortunately, the police department waited quite a while to come back and do this.
We called them from Canada after my son reported her missing. He waited 24 hours and reported her missing on Sunday morning. And I begged them to have a forensic team go through the house and the car before we returned home because I was concerned about contaminating the evidence, and they refused to do so. They just, as I told you in the beginning, they just didn't think she was missing. And it wasn't until almost a month later that they finally fingerprinted the car for fingerprints. And as far as I know, it was inconclusive. The house, I collected items in the house that clearly did not come from my daughter, and finally turned them over to the police when they asked for it about 6 weeks later.
We know that Jenna had been driving her mom's car shortly before she disappeared. Her family also wanted the car to be fingerprinted because there were signs that someone else had been in the car with her.
She told three different friends, and one is in a tape-recorded conversation, that she was driving my wife's car because the insurance had lapsed on her car. We don't know who was in the car with her, but the way that the passenger seat was pushed back, it appeared that somebody fairly tall had been in the car when she brought the car back here. But we don't know at what point.
Jenna's ex-boyfriend was interviewed by law enforcement, and he told them that Jenna had showed up at his house on the evening of the 18th, and he broke up with her. What he told police sent them looking in a different direction.
Unfortunately, the police handling of her case has been less than desirable from day one. They didn't do any forensic investigation of the house or my wife's car that was being driven by my daughter the night before that was in the garage. The main issue was that they interviewed a boyfriend who claimed he had broken up with her the night before. And for whatever reason, he told the police that Jenna was a prostitute and a drug addict, neither of which have been confirmed by anybody. And they ran with that and told us the first couple days that they had identified her on Backpage. What happened was a woman who was not even a detective just went on Backpage and looked for any woman that had the first name Jenna and said that must be her. And then they called us 4 days later and said she was being arrested for solicitation and was being processed. When I didn't hear anything from them, I called the next day and they said, oh, we made a mistake. It wasn't your daughter. It was just some woman that was using the name Jenna on Backpage. That was just one of many mistakes that were made.
When Jenna had moved out of her parents' house back in the spring, she wouldn't tell her parents where she was living. So after she disappeared, they had to track down that information too.
Our daughter wouldn't give us the address. She wanted total privacy when she moved out. And we did get that information from a friend of hers early on. And I contacted the roommate. And he said, she's paid up. There's no reason for you to come over here. And I'm going to throw her stuff outside at the end of the month. Goodbye. Now, if that isn't suspicious, I don't know what is.
There are some jurisdictional issues in this case, since Jenna went missing in one jurisdiction, but her apartment and other important areas related to this case are in another jurisdiction.
The other thing in this particular case that's really frustrating is Our daughter went missing from our house, which is in DeKalb County, but all the events that occurred in places that are significant are all in the city of Atlanta. She had an apartment in the city of Atlanta. They never searched her apartment. And the detective went over there, came back. The roommate said, she hadn't paid rent, and he's throwing all her stuff outside. So the detective gathered up her stuff, brought it over here. There was no bedding in there, no pillows, no sheets, no nothing. I asked them, I said, how could you not search the apartment if there's no bedding? So they went back and they asked their roommate, and he said, oh, she was sleeping on the floor with nothing. And there was no bed there. To you and I, it would sound suspicious. Apparently to them, it wasn't. They said, no judge is going to give us a search warrant just based on that. Now go figure that out.
Even though Jenna's roommate hasn't been very forthcoming, there isn't any evidence suggesting that she disappeared from the apartment.
But right now it does not appear that she went missing from the apartment, which is what I had feared. We don't know for sure, actually. We know she was here at some point on Friday night and early Saturday morning. We don't know she went back to the apartment at all.
What do you still have left to do on your holiday to-do list? How many errands do you have to run? With the holidays almost here, who has the time to go to the post office? Stamps.com brings you all of the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. Then the mailman picks it up right from your mailbox. I use Stamps.com because it's a huge time saver for me. I'm always sending out things like Freedom of Information Act requests or mailing notes to listeners. I can just do it all from home and put it in my mailbox. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Vanished. That's Stamps.com, enter Vanished. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. Jenna's family has lost a lot of faith in the police department and also the media. The police department released information to the media stating that Jenna was a prostitute. We know this information came from her ex-boyfriend, but they incorrectly stated that Jenna's brother Will had said this. They also said that Jenna had disappeared before, which is also misinformation. The media began circulating this, which was incredibly frustrating for her family. At this point, the police department believed that Jenna had left on her own. On September 5th, Jenna's car was spotted by someone who had heard about her disappearance.
It was found 2 weeks later, parked on a City of Atlanta street, that somebody who had seen the flyers identified the car. And we don't know how long it was sitting there. We suspect it may have been there the whole time. It appears the car was ditched there. It had very little gas in it, and I actually picked up the car from the police 2 weeks later, and she had a suitcase when she was staying here in our house, and the suitcase was in the car. but a lot of her personal items were still here in the house. It looked like somebody was staging the car to make it look like she ran away. And her wallet and her shoes were in the car.
Once Jenna's car was located, the police started taking her disappearance more seriously. They did impound the car for processing, and they brought out a dog to search the area around the car. One important source of information in this case has been cell phones. Jenna had 2 cell phones with her when she went missing, and neither of them have been located. One of her phones was on her parents' T-Mobile account.
When I realized that my daughter was hanging out with people that could be dangerous, we made sure to keep her on our T-Mobile account, and I owned her phone number. And the only way we were able to quickly get information about who her contacts were was pulling up the T-Mobile account and just calling everybody who was on the phone log and finding out who they were and what their story was as far as our daughter the day that she went missing.
Leon explained to me why Jenna had gotten a second phone.
She had 2 phones. The one that was the T-Mobile account, when she found out I was monitoring it, she got a second phone, a Metro PCS phone. Both phones haven't been found. What's odd is the Metro PCS phone stopped working and recording around 11:30 on Friday night. We know that from the phone log on it. And the T-Mobile phone stopped working sometime Saturday morning. And one of the problems was both phones were not charged up. And when she came home, whatever occurred here, her phones did not get charged up enough to send out a signal. And only in the last week have the police finally gotten location information on her T-Mobile phone.
Since the T-Mobile account is owned by Jenna's parents, they were able to use this to gather a lot of information.
One of the things we haven't touched on that is interesting about this case, and I think it's something that other parents in this situation need to be aware of, because I had access to her phone, T-Mobile was able to let me ghost a new phone with her phone number. And my son, who's technologically savvy, was able to change all her passwords and get into all her Google and Gmail accounts, everything. And we turned all that information over to the police because I didn't know how much information Google collects on somebody, including timeline, recorded chat, you name it. And it was a trove of information. And when we gave it to the police, they said, well, you got it illegally. We can't look at it. Your daughter might sue you over this. And I'm an attorney. And to this day, the information that we've given them, they keep ignoring it. They've had hundreds of pages that we've given them that we got from online sources. I've been reading enough other cases where other parents have done the same thing and accessed the account right away, because you can pull it up online and right away see who are the last calls. And it's essential. Most people don't realize that if the phone has location turned on, that Google is tracking the phone and has a timeline. And that information is invaluable. And we had that information and gave it to the police. As recently as a couple weeks ago, they were still questioning whether I owned the account, even though we gave them all the information.
Detectives wanted to get the phone location data directly from the cell phone carrier, but valuable time was wasted because they went to the wrong carrier.
Well, it was so bad that a couple weeks ago, I met with the detective handling the case on a search that we had orchestrated in an area that had been identified by a psychic. So I met the detective out there, and I said, why don't you have the location information on Jenna's phone? And he said to me, he said, even though it was a T-Mobile phone and I had the number for over 10 years. He said, we went to AT&T and they had no record, so we can't get anything. And I said, why did you go to AT&T? He had never bothered to look in the file at the records we gave him showing that I owned the phone and it was a T-Mobile phone. He said, oh, I pulled up something that showed that the number originally belonged to AT&T.
Law enforcement has asked the family not to release certain information regarding who they consider to be suspects in this case, but Leon told me what he could about them.
We hired private investigators initially to get a better idea who the people were, who were possible suspects. There's two or three people that had stated either on the internet or in interviews that they were supposed to meet her or be with her Friday night, including the boyfriend, and the police are investigating all of them. I can't say a whole lot more than that. It's taken a lot for us to get them to the point of realizing that she's truly missing, and even though there's no evidence of foul play.
Jenna's family believes that she was at an increased risk of being victimized because she doesn't perceive danger in the same way that someone who isn't on the autism spectrum might. One thing that points to this is that they've now learned more about the circumstances surrounding the theft from the pet store that was mentioned earlier in this episode.
One of the suspects was somebody who was clearly extorting money from her and forcing her to embezzle money from work based on the information that we now have.
When I look at Jenna's case, one thing that baffles me is how her ex-boyfriend was able to successfully spin the narrative. Why did they believe his claims that she was a prostitute with no proof to back it up? Furthermore, even if it were true, does that mean that we don't look for someone who is missing? He's the last person that we know of that saw Jenna, and he says he broke up with her that night. Don't you think that's someone who should have been thoroughly investigated?
I've said this in a couple public interviews. How in the world did the police get influenced by somebody who openly declares that they're an ex-boyfriend who had a disagreement with my daughter the night before, and then they run with his information that she's a prostitute and a drug addict? I mean, ex-husbands, ex-wives, ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends are the least reliable people that the police should be taking for granted. Anything we have to say as parents just went out the window, and it's continued. I mean, we gave them permission the first week to access our T-Mobile account in writing. They didn't believe us that I owned the phone number, and they went to the wrong carrier to get information on the location of my daughter's phone.
From the very beginning, Jenna's family has been fighting law enforcement to look for her. They've utilized social media and the community they've built there to try to keep pushing for answers.
The only way we've been able to get them to correct mistakes like that is continuously asking questions, monitoring what they're doing, and putting it out there in social media when they screw up, and getting other people in the community to contact them and using political means to. Most of these cases that I've read about, within a couple weeks, the police have the most basic information, which is the location information on the victim's phone. Here we are, we were 16 weeks out, and they still didn't have it. One of the problems is most of the police departments have a homicide division, they have a sex crimes division, but they don't truly have somebody who is knowledgeable about missing persons. Even though they claim that they have hundreds of missing person cases every week, they don't know how to get the information necessary for an adult missing person case. And I think they get more assistance from the FBI and the GBI if it's a missing child or a senior citizen, but cases fall through the cracks.
I've seen time and time again that some police departments aren't utilizing the NamUs database. Often, when I go to cover someone's case, I'll find that they aren't listed there. You can submit information about a missing person to NamUs, but law enforcement officials need to verify that information. Their cooperation is necessary. it's a great resource that they should be taking advantage of. Jenna's family had to fight to get her listed in the NamUs database, too.
That happened in our case. Because of the Natalie Holloway website, I found out about NamUs, and we were over a month into the case, and I contacted the police in our case, and they acted like they didn't know anything about it. And it was only because we shamed them on social media for not putting it on there that they finally went ahead and did it. And at first they screwed it up and didn't even have the right information on there. There are several websites out there, like the one that was set up by Natalie Holloway's mother, that tell you the things that you need to do when a person goes missing and who to contact. And if I can pull all that up, you would think they can pull it up.
Just last week, the police department finally obtained the location information from Jenna's phones. The hope is that now they'll begin searching the areas of her last phone pings to see if they can find any clues. For the Van Gelderen family, the 4 months that it took to obtain that information and begin searching seemed like an awfully long time.
They do have an area now that they've gotten the phone location information, but I can't go into those details. And that's been one of the frustrating things, is that you can't search all of Atlanta until they had the specific information on Jenna's phone. We didn't even know where to begin searching. And now the secondary search that I'm hoping they're doing is not if they know the location of where her phone was, is to search the chief suspects and see if their phones match up with that, which, again, from Dateline, has stories similar to what you're doing. And the ones I've seen on there, this is all done within the first month, usually, that they're able, using the telephone information and the phone pings, to identify who was the person that was with the victim at the time they disappeared. Let's put it this way. It's a subject of hot discussion between us and them. And one of the things that we've run into, and I'm sure you've heard this in other cases, is if people don't want to be searched easily as to their locations, they just put the phone in somebody else's name. There were license plate information, photographs from Atlanta police, and there were searches done in areas that where the car was sighted by, I forgot the name of it, I think it's called ACARS, the license plate readers. That was not fruitful.
This is a very recent case, and the hope is that someone will come forward with information that leads to finding Jenna. There are two different rewards being offered. Crime Stoppers is offering $7,000, and that phone number is 404-577-TIPS. The family is offering $10,000 for Jenna's safe return. You can send tips to an email address that they've set up. That's findjennanow@gmail.com. To follow her case on social media, check out the Help Find Jenna Van Gelderen page on Facebook. Jenna is described as 4 feet 11 inches tall, weighing about 140 pounds. She has dark brown hair and brown eyes. Another thing to look out for that's related to this case is that Egyptian tapestry that was stolen from the home. We don't know if that was taken because the person thought it was worth money, or maybe they just liked it. Who knows? It's strange to me that someone decided to take that, of all things, and leave other valuables behind. I'll be posting pictures of that on the website as well. Maybe if they can find that, they can find out what happened to Jenna. There are many questions that remain in this case because not much was done by law enforcement for the first 4 months. Hopefully, they will now give her disappearance the attention that it deserves. Be aware that when you go online to research Jenna's case, some of that misinformation that was released early on is still out there. It's such a shame when this happens because once misinformation gets out there, it's really hard to reel it back in. That brings us to the end of episode 105. I'd like to thank Mr. Van Gelderen for taking the time to speak with me. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. You can find me on Facebook, where there's both a page and a private discussion group. I am on Twitter @TheVanishedPod and on Instagram as The Vanished Podcast. I'm taking next week off, but I'll be back the following week after the holidays. The first episode of 2018 will be about a missing man from Iowa. Thanks for listening.
Every parent should, in this kind of situation, should have the ability to access their child information, phone information, email information, because there's just a wealth of information that Google now can provide in these cases. And a lot of people we've talked to, I'm not even sure the police were aware how much information that Google had as far as our daughter. I think they were overwhelmed by it when we showed it to them. My son, who's 30, keeps every day texting them saying, "Do you remember I gave you this? Do you remember I gave you that?"
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.